Morning, everybody. Good to see you. Let's turn to 1 Kings this morning. 1 Kings chapter 11. 1 Kings chapter 11. First Kings 11, 1 through 14. 1 Kings 11, 1 through 14. It's from the NASB. Now King Solomon loved many foreign women, along with the daughter of Pharaoh, Moabite, Ammonite, Edomite, Sidonians, and Hittite women. From the nations concerning which the Lord had said to the sons of Israel, "You shall not associate with them, nor shall they associate with you, for they will surely turn your heart away after their gods." Solomon held fast to these in love. He had 700 wives, princesses, and 300 concubines, and his wives turned his heart away. For when Solomon was old, his wives turned his heart away after other gods, and his heart was not wholly devoted to the Lord his God, as the heart of David his father had been. For Solomon went after Ashtoreth, the goddess of the Sidonians, and after Milcom, the detestable idol of the Ammonites. Solomon did what was evil in the sight of the Lord, and did not follow the Lord fully as David had done. Then Solomon built a high place for Chemosh, the detestable idol of Moab, on the mountain which is east of Jerusalem, and for Molech, the detestable idol of the sons of Ammon. Thus also he did for all his foreign wives who burned incense and sacrificed to their gods. Now the Lord was angry with Solomon because his heart was turned away from the Lord, the God of Israel, who appeared to him twice, and had commanded him concerning this thing that he should not go after other gods. But he did not observe what the Lord had commanded. So the Lord said to Solomon, "Because you have done this, and you have not kept my covenant and my statutes, which I have commanded you, I will surely tear the kingdom from you and will give it to your servant. Nevertheless, I will not do it in your days for the sake of your father David, but I will tear it out of the hand of your son. However, I will not tear away all the kingdom, but I will give one tribe to your son for the sake of my servant David and for the sake of Jerusalem, which I have chosen." Then the Lord raised up an adversary to Solomon, Hadad the Edomite. He was of the royal line in Edom. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for this new morning, and we want to spend our first moments with you. And Lord, we want to learn from your word. And so, Father, we pray for revelation. God, fill us with your spirit. Keep our minds alert and awake. And we thank you for this time together. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So yesterday we talked a little bit about Solomon and sort of spiritual erosion and to remember. If you remember that. And so here we are. I want to talk a little bit more about sort of spiritual erosion. And you look at King Solomon, and he begins his life in such a wonderful way. Over time, he becomes the most powerful man in all of the world, the richest man, the one with the greatest military power and might, prosperity, all the women that, he has over 1,000 women. 700 wives and 300 concubines. You know, you would think, you know, that would be enough, but apparently he needs more. But he has everything basically. And if you remember the story that God gave him a wish, and whatever you want, I'll give it to you. And he asked for wisdom, and God was pleased with that, so he gave him that and so much more. And so here's a guy with abundance and prosperity. Here's a guy with everything. Not only that, he has wisdom, the gift of wisdom, the smartest man in the world, things like that. And we get to the end of his life, and we see such a unfortunate, it's more than unfortunate. I mean, you can't even use the word unfortunate to see the tragedy of the end of his life. But the question is, how is it possible for someone like this, so powerful, so mighty, had the favor of God, God chose him in the line of David, all of that stuff, to end his life in such a way where it goes from such a high and then it erodes. I mean, there isn't any man that began with so much promise than Solomon did. But a good beginning doesn't mean always a good finish. And so Solomon drifted, and finally defeated. But how could that happen? Well, the first thing that he did is he settled himself into the kingdom, and then he entered into an alliance with Egypt by marrying the daughter of Pharaoh. And things began to degenerate from there. And the degeneration process of our heart and our spiritual life comes from this rationalization in our mind. Basically, King Solomon's erosion started this way by rationalizing. First, he marries a foreign wife, an Egyptian wife, and I could hear him say, well, you know what, if I do this, it would really help God's kingdom, and the people would be at peace with Egypt. And besides, we once lived in Egypt, you know, and what's one little marriage anyway? And so he began to rationalize this. The question is, how can you tell if you're rationalizing? Well, first, you begin to feel this need to have to explain your actions to yourself and to others and to God. You feel this need that, well, I've got to explain myself. And then the next thing that happens is that you begin to be defensive and rope off sort of areas of your life that you believe are beyond God's authority. And so what Solomon did was he roped off his family life. He roped off then his worship to God's. And so in spite of God's clear commands not to marry foreign women, he began to worship their foreign gods. And in fact, he builds altars in worship to them. And so he could have reasoned, you know, what's a little incense here? What's a little incense there? You know, he must have reasoned that, you know, it smells nice. It makes my wife happy. And besides, and when you begin to use that word besides to God, that's not a good sign. Besides, God knows how much I really love him, you know, and so you begin to rationalize, a little incense here, a little incense smells nice, you know, what's wrong with it, you know, besides, God knows I love him, you know. And that's how it happens. And so we move from rationalization then to justification. You know, we justify, well, this is, I have to do this. This is important, you know. We rationalize and then we justify it somehow. And then after we justify it, then we overindulge in it. You know, and so we see clearly in Solomon, you know, rationalizing, well, you know, if, you know, it doesn't say in the text, but I'm just saying, going through the process, well, you know, if I marry a foreign woman, even though it goes against, you know, God's commands, you know, we'll have a good relationship with them, you know, and it'll be good, there'll be peace, and we rationalize that, and then justifies, you know, well, you know, this is for the kingdom, this is for the kingdom, you know, and so and then, as you see, Solomon, he begins to overindulge. He doesn't marry just one foreign wife, two foreign wives, three foreign wives. You know, after about 20 or 30, you know, maybe someone could go up to him and say, you know, Solomon, I kind of see a pattern happening here. But, you know, and so he begins to overindulge. And so I think what happens is that we do that all the time too, you know. You know, maybe in a work situation, you know, it's a lot of different temptations to sin against God, and then you rationalize, well, if I don't do this, I'm going to lose my job, and if I lose my job, I'm not going to make the income that I make, and if I don't have the income that I make, then I can't give to church. Besides, God knows my heart, right? This is how it happens, right? You know, maybe in school or something, you know, you know, the temptation to cheat, and you rationalize, well, you know, I have to, you know, I've got to do this because I can't fail this class, and I need a perfect record, or I need whatever record that I need, and besides, God's not glorified if I fail this class, right? And so we rationalize, God needs to be glorified, so I've got to sin against him. Right, and you know, we're all guilty of that. We begin to rationalize. It's for the kingdom. Besides, God knows my heart, you know. And so what we do is that we begin to rationalize small things for big things. And so if we go back to verse 1 and 2, God tells King Solomon in Israel, you know, don't have anything to do with these women, but Solomon loved these women. You know, it's kind of like a parent or a teacher at school that tells you, you know, don't talk in class, and then you pretend not to hear, and then you just talk in class, and these things. Solomon pretends not to hear God give the command not to marry these women, even though, you know, he understood that was wrong. And the reason why God says this command is because he knows that these women are going to turn his heart away from God. God knows that these women, if you are involved with them, if you marry them, they're going to turn your heart away from God. And that's something that we have to understand. When God gives us a word or a command or something like that, there's a reason, because eventually it may turn your heart away from him. And so he marries them, and his heart is turned away. And if we look at verse 4, when Solomon was old, his wives turned his heart away from after other gods, and his heart was not wholly devoted to the Lord his God as the heart of David his father has been. And so the question is, has our hearts turned away because of the rationalization that we make for maybe different temptations or different situations in our lives? Has our heart turned away? Have we decided, well, it's going to be okay. It's okay to do this. It's okay to fudge on the numbers. It's okay to lie to my friend to get out of a difficult situation. It's okay. It's okay. You know, it's so funny. I obviously Elijah is such a funny kid. You know, we'll give him commands. You know, you can't do this. You can't do this. And one day he keeps doing this. He has the audacity to tell his mom and I, it's okay. You know, so we'll tell him, you know, you can't, you got to use the potty, and you can't, poop or pee in your diaper or whatever. And then, you know, it's okay. And it's like, I'm thinking to myself, no, it's not okay. What's okay about that? You know, or we'll tell him not to, you know, play with sticks, you know, and, you know, because it's going to poke his eye out. You know, we're afraid, you know, if he moves around or if he jumps and he falls, it's going to, you know, he's going to land on this, you know, pencil or chopstick and just poke his eye out. You know, we're like, Elijah, you know, you can't play with sticks. He's saying, it's okay. It's okay. You know, because I'm sure in his mind he's rationalizing, this is my fun. Why would you want to take away my fun? You know, I'm enjoying this. Why would you do that? And he's saying, it's okay. And I can imagine Solomon in his mind having that same attitude. It's okay. It's okay. And this is what happens, and this is how your spirit erodes. This is how your relationship with God erodes, is that you rationalize, even though the Word of God is very clear. And we've done that so many times. I've done that so many times where it's like, well, you know what? It's for the kingdom. You know, it's for God. It's for his reputation. It's for his glory. And so I'm going to break the rules, and I'm going to sin against him, even though he doesn't, you know, he's declared it very clearly through his word and through other means. It's okay. And so here is the final result. And I just want to say that we've got to be careful, that we are, you know, no different than Solomon. The path that we're on as we rationalize through different things is not going to end up any different. We're not going to be the exception. We're not going to be the exception. The fate of Solomon may be our fate, that at the end of his life it was so tragic because his heart was not fully devoted to the Lord, and his heart was turned away to other idols. And if we were to examine our hearts this morning, you know, what is it in our lives that have turned our hearts away from God? Is it money? Is it reputation? Is it power? Is it what is it that has turned our hearts away from God? Because in the end, you're going to be standing in a place, looking back towards God, asking yourself, how did I get to this place? How did my spirit erode to such a place? And finally, verses 11. So the Lord said to Solomon, because you have done this and you have not kept my covenant and my statutes which I have commanded you, I will surely tear the kingdom from you and will give it to your servant. In verse 14, the Lord raised up an adversary to Solomon, Hadad the Edomite, and it was the royal line in Edom. What's significant about verse 14 is all throughout Solomon's life, he had no adversaries. He had no enemies. He was, you know, in favor with every country. He had power over every country, and he lived an enemy-free life pretty much. And because of this sin, the Lord raised up an adversary. In other words, he raised up an enemy, and this is just unfortunate and very tragic. I skipped over verse 9, but the Lord was very angry with Solomon because his heart turned away from the Lord. The Lord was angry at Solomon. The Lord was, man, I would hate that to be written about me, you know. And Janelle, if you could come up, I would hate that to be said of me, that the Lord was angry with me because my heart had turned away. And we all know about God's anger. We know about God's wrath. We know about the power of his anger and the destruction of his anger. I would hate for that to be said of me. But the Bible says that the Lord was angry with Solomon because his heart had turned away from the Lord. And that happens when we spiritually rationalize things in our lives. You know, over time, our hearts turn away from God because we made these decisions to rationalize. Like, it's okay. You know, it's not a big deal. Besides. So I want us to sort of meditate on that, on the life of Solomon, and as we talk about spiritual erosion, what is it that causes us to turn our hearts away from God? Have we been giving in to that lie of the enemy that it's okay? I mean, don't worry about it. It's not a big deal. Besides, God knows your heart. Besides, you know, sin is not that big of a deal. You've gotten away from it before. In other words, you never got caught before. You know, nothing ever happened to you. It's okay. And then eventually you find your spirit and your soul so far from God. And so all God calls you to do from that point is to repent. If Solomon had repented, if Solomon had turned his heart back to the Lord, I'm pretty sure that his destiny would have changed and the end of his life would have changed. And for us, it's still not too late. It's still not too late. So let's come back to him. And so if you would just bow your heads with me, and as we meditate upon this, turn your hearts towards God today. Get rid of this sort of systematic thinking in our minds that have been programmed to just rationalize away God's commands of obedience. Thank you, Lord. Father, we come before you, and Lord, we want to turn our hearts back to you. God, we want to lay down our idols, which we know you detest. And God, if there are things that have crept up in our lives that we didn't even realize, God, would you reveal that to us today, that we may repent and turn from our wicked ways. Thank you, Lord.
When I think about the Lord, how he saved me, how he raised me, how he filled me up with the Holy Ghost, how he healed me to the uttermost. And when I think about the Lord, how he picked me up and turned me around, how he set my feet on solid ground, it makes me wanna shout. All the praise, me wanna shout, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus, Lord, you're worthy of all the glory and all the honor and all the
Let's put God back in the rightful place in our lives as we lay down our idols. And as we do that, I know God's heart is for those who are sick. And so let's pray for those who are struggling with cancer. For you have to understand, for many of the people on the list, this is a very long process and need our continual prayers. And so let's lift them up. They're on the screen. And so let's pray for them and ask God to heal them in Jesus' name. So let's pray. Let's lift up those who have cancer but also are not believers and have not received salvation. And so let's ask the Lord to use this situation and people around them to bring in salvation. So let's lift them up along with the other infirmities that people have. Let's pray. Let's pray for those who are looking for employment and jobs, and let's continue to press on and intercede for them. And so let's lift them up right now. Pray for our mission focus for this Thursday, and let's lift up Kenny in Nagoya, Japan, as his time is ending soon. Let's lift up Thailand and Rachel and Obergs, and let's pray for North Korea, for the churches there, and for Chris Kim and his family. And so let's lift up these nations right now. Lift up our mission trips, and our Cambodia worship team is there right now, but let's also lift up Hunan and Japan as they're leaving in the next couple of days. And let's ask God to truly up to the end just do incredible work through them. Let's pray for protection as they will encounter spiritual warfare and just the enemy coming against them. And so let's ask God to protect them and break through in these dark nations. And so let's pray for our mission teams right now. Up our SP Ministries, Noah's Ark in the nursery, SP Youth and Men's and Women's Ministry. I know Noah's Ark and other departments are looking for volunteers, so let's ask the Lord to raise up leaders for these ministries, and let's pray that God would truly bless the children of our church. So let's lift them up right now. Father, what a blessing it is to come into your house and to be in your presence, Lord, and to intercede and care for your people, Lord, just as you've shown us incredible love, God. Help us to remember who you are and what you've done, and God, help us to follow you, and Lord, we lay down our idols before you, and God, we want to turn our hearts back to you today. God, remind us of your word that we could remember it. We thank you, God, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Have a great day of prayer this morning, and encourage you to bless somebody today. So we'll see you tomorrow, and God bless you.